And now it's time for the Wildside News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
Summer is here in all its glory. Trees, flowers, bugs, and sun. And this summer, we've got something we haven't had in a long time. It's called hope. The message that nature matters has launched mainstream with the extraordinary success of Al Gore's An Inconvenient Truth. Come along as we capture the spirit when your voice of the earth continues here on the Wildside News.
Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Welcome. It's summer. It's here. I'm making the most of these long days by extending my adventures into the evenings with strolls on the beach, heading out in the warm evenings. It's always such a celebration of life. And I'm beginning to get increasingly more optimistic that we are beginning to see around the corner here, as it seems like even the media is beginning to get in line with what we've all known for years. Nature, life, the earth, this all matters. This past weekend, I went to see Al Gore's An Inconvenient Truth. Following all the gaga about it, and how there was a new Al Gore to reveal, I'd expected some kind of whirlwind of Gore stump speeches with energized throngs of supporters cheering and rallying. So much for the imagination. It was, in a more Gore-ish fashion, a scholarly multimedia event that basically said, you can raise whatever questions you want about global warming, but here's the facts as we can see them. My first reaction to An Inconvenient Truth is, just go see it. You don't need an excuse or a justification. Just go see it. It's not a wild scare tactic. It's not a political diatribe. It's a reasoned look at the issue. And while you're at it, bring anyone you can along with you, because people should see this movie. What's Gore's bottom line? Global warming is real. It has the potential to change forever life as we know it on planet Earth. We have 10 years to change direction, and we can do it. Next week, I'm going to take a deeper look at An Inconvenient Truth. This week, we're heading up to San Francisco to kick off this summer series with the Presidio School of Management. Ron Naser joins us for the second time as we look at their graduation ceremony and talk a bit about the challenges that his graduates face in the corporate world. In segment two, we fly back east and up into the skies with Southwings, a volunteer alliance of pilots who provide a priceless vision, literally, that is changing the way we see the world. And in our third segment, this past Monday, the Campaign for America's Future held their second annual conference. We bring you some specific remarks from Robert Redford, who we all know, and Leo Girard, who we all need to know, about the future of our Earth. So that's all coming up when your voice of the Earth continues, following the news. So now, the news. The 2006 hurricane season is officially underway as Hurricane Alberto got ahead of steam approaching the west coast of Florida. Floridians, and just about everyone else, took Alberto seriously and boarded and evacuated, but alas, Alberto stumbled and turned into nothing more than a tropical storm, heading up the east coast. Predictions vary from normal to wild to furious for this year's hurricane season. We'll be covering it all, every step of the way. As global warming grabs center stage, global weirding is perhaps the best term for what is on its way. A recent report noted that one of the global weirdings noticed involved polar bears in the southern Beaufort Sea region of Alaska resorting to cannibalism. polar bears are known to kill one another in dominance disputes and as an instinctive population control behavior, but killing for food has remained taboo, that is, until recently. The polar bears generally rely on the polar ice sheet to hunt the ringed seal. But as polar ice disappears, the bears have fewer hunting opportunities, and scientists speculate that these new behaviors are the result. Unless these trends are turned around, many see the end of polar bears by the year 2100. Whether or not whales are just another source of meat and other products, or rather a sentient being unworthy of killing, is getting a renewed consideration, as Japan, which continues justifying whaling for purported research purposes, makes a powerful political move at the current International Whaling Commission being held on the Caribbean island of St. Kitts. The ban on whaling imposed by the IWC in 1986 is getting a serious challenge, led by Japan along with Norway and Iceland and other pro-whaling countries. Although the chances of the ban being overturned are small, requiring a 75% vote by the members, still, a majority vote, which is expected, could set the stage for changes in the future. Norway, which ignores the ban, is also considering forming their own independent regulatory body. The IWC has, amongst its members, landlocked nations such as Mongolia, which feeds speculation that their votes are being bought off with generous foreign aid programs from Japan. On a personal note to Norwegians, to whom I am related by birth, I say, for data beligen. And speaking of undue influence to alter results, in Leipzig, where the World Soccer Tournament is raging, the Ukrainian World Cup players have complained that the nighttime chorusing of frogs in their accommodations nestled amongst the wonder of a nature preserve has been keeping them up at night and may have been partly the cause for their loss to Spain by 4-0 in the first rounds of the tournament. Some are saying that the frogs had been somehow induced to chorus by arch-rivals Saudi Arabia and Tunisia, who in their opening match tied 2-2, to which I can only say, ribbit. And that's the news. And a few special announcements. If you have a story that you want covered or have interesting photos or sounds from your personal domain, you're invited to share them with our listeners from around the world by sending the relevant information to wildsidenews@cox.net. That's WILDSIDENEWS@COX.net. And be sure to tell your friends about the Wild Side News. I want each of you to go out this week and invite one special friend that can double our listenership in a week. They'll be glad you did. All over the United States and various parts of the world, people are putting on their mortar boards and donning their gowns because it's graduation time. It's an exciting moment of grand expectations and visions and thinking about success. It's a time that really celebrates youth and their enthusiasm. And we in the nature and environmental sector actually have something to be very happy about, because we can celebrate a graduation that occurred this last weekend. And to really talk about that is Ron Naser, who's the provost at the Presidio School of Management up in San Francisco. Ron, welcome to the Wild Side News.
Thank you very much, Sydney. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, for people who may not be familiar with the Presidio School of Management, give us a sense of what you guys are doing.
Well, basically, I will give you a short bit of history, is that Presidio School of Management is the core program of a school called Presidio World College, which was founded in 1993. And if anybody's been through the Presidio, there is a Thoreau Center, which is one of the really great spots for all kinds of environmental groups in the Bay Area. And Presidio World College was looking for a way to impact people who wanted to work in, start, or change their businesses to be sustainable enterprises. And as the years went on, after about 10 years of doing some certificate programs, they found a, if you will, market niche of people who were interested in really learning more about the business skills necessary to run a sustainable business. And the more they talked to people, it turned out to be an MBA. And so 3 years ago, we launched an MBA program, graduated our first class last year, and graduated our second class just this past Saturday. It's an MBA program, but we've chosen the words carefully. It's an MBA in sustainable management, which, as I know your listeners will know, means that it is not to just maximize return to shareholders, but is considering the social, human, natural, environmental capital that we all use and work with in running our organizations.
Ron, it almost brings tears to my eyes.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it's really great. This is such an exciting time for us. It's been a long journey.
Yes, it has.
For us to get to the point where we have our own people who can go out there and bring to the world and the business world, which has such a significant impact, these concepts. It's exciting. You had your second graduation.
Yes.
This was this last Saturday.
Right.
And how many people graduated?
We had 21 students, and in the interest of full disclosure, one of them is still finishing up an incomplete. So that person will determine the merits of that case this Friday, but we had 21. We're very proud that of the 21, one of them was in the first cohort. People who are familiar with education know something called attrition rates.
Mm-hmm.
The first class that came into the program, there were 22 students. Last year we graduated 20 of them. One graduated last Saturday, and one is still wandering the halls, but will graduate one day.
That's fabulous. Well, you have your students aren't necessarily, and talking about sort of youth and what happens around graduation day, you have a unique student body.
Well, we do. Now, Sydney, I come from a long career in marketing, and usually one of the great characteristics of marketing is to segment and target the market. And we have, if you will, targeted diversity. And we, with a smile on our faces, say that the average age of our students is 35, ranging from 24 to 55. And so from the standpoint of age or demographics, it is a very diverse background. But in terms of them all realizing that business is perhaps arguably the most powerful force for change, for better or for worse in society, and all recognizing that it really is business leaders who will have an enormous impact sustainably, that they share all the students. We have a phrase which we call them realistic idealists. They believe in the larger social mission which every career should embody, but they want to be grounded to knowing a balance sheet, income statement, and cash flow statement, as well as other elements to run a business.
That's really exciting. I know that there's a lot of people out there who've gotten into business and for one reason or another say, you know, I think there's another way that this could be done. And so they have experience under their belts. And, well, you really offer them an opportunity to do that life change thing that can really make a difference.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and I would say to that point, many of the students do come from, they've had enough experience to realize that this is, that their careers are not satisfying to them. And it generally comes down to not certainly needing more money, but realizing that there needs to be more meaning in their work. And what could be more meaningful than the regenerative tasks in front of us all to make the world more sustainable?
We're going to ask some questions about that in just a few moments, because I think that really gets down to the crux of what you're really trying to accomplish. You also had a distinguished commencement speaker who graced your event.
Yeah, well, we were very pleased. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., affectionately known to one and all as Bobby, gave the commencement address. He's been on our advisory board for several years and was eager, as you know, the Kennedy legend is real in so many ways, and one of them is to inspire young people in the area of social service. What's been fascinating to him is that he has made great appeal not just for the social or policy aspects of service, but of the business model. And it was very stirring for him, who is, he's a great environmentalist, river keepers and water keepers, and are the two of his organizations, to say that he is a free marketeer, and goes on to explain that eloquently, that what we have now is not free marketing, but it is really exploitive marketeering. And he believes that basically companies need to pay their fair costs rather than what he calls cheater capitalism. So it was a very stirring address. He then tied in, we have a basic focus here, Sydney, to help our students realize there, we use the word calling, but that there is something higher than just serving their own interests. And Bobby did a wonderful job of really talking about having your calling meet the world's great needs through the management of our resources, which he is so keenly interested in preserving.
I hope to hear that speech sometime. I think
it will be available. We are going to make it available. We're going to we're talking to him now about making it into a podcast and make it available, because he got, as he does often, and some of your listeners may have experienced it, he invariably gets a standing ovation, and did at the end of this speech as well.
This whole aspect of sustainability and business. And then, as you say, you know, it's large-scale enterprise. One of the interesting things that I'm thrilled about, and actually am and very much involved in, is this whole new sector. It's truly an enormous sector. And one of the exciting and or complicated aspects of that is the fact that there's a lot of money to be made in the sustainable future.
I mean, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally people can start to think about their own realms of empire if they're really clever and they have a tremendous business savvy. There are literally billions of dollars to be made. And that raises a rather interesting question that I'd love to hear you give some thought to. And that is, you know, most of the people that would be listening to this show and people who are involved with the Presidio School of Management come into this, as you say, because they have a sense of calling. They perhaps have a kind of a humanitarian bent. They've been involved in the nonprofit world a lot, which seems to be associated with the type of work that leads to sustainability and concerns about the environment. And that's their nature. It's almost like they come to this with that nature. But, you know, there's a side to business that doesn't necessarily take you where you need to go when you get into the business world. There's some, just as an example, and then I'm anxious to have you give your thoughts. Many businesses, for example, part of their business model is to make sure that you do everything you can to diminish your competition.
Mm-hmm.
In many cases, it is to destroy your competition, perhaps by even just buying them up and putting them to sleep, or other forms. Which is a very aggressive type of business. It really is about almost doing damage as opposed to some sort of cooperative form. How do you start to address that with people, for example, in the Presidio?
Well, that's there's a whole model. You have touched on many of the discussions that come up in our school. I'll give you, and again for your listeners who follow these kinds of things, what you've essentially described as a name. And the name is called neoclassical economics, forgive me, but there is a name for it. And it means that there is a limited market, and that the only way to grow is take it away from somebody else. And there are models that have been built up on that. And there's another model, which is, it's got all kinds of different names, you know, ecological economics, but it's an emerging field where people say that it's not about beating the competition, but it's about which business has always been is serving genuine needs. Now, that's gotten turned inside and out, and I come from a long career of advertising, and I certainly know about manipulating people's desires in order to have them buy things they might not need. But basically, underneath it all, is that business, marketing, has always been, at base, serving the needs of others. And that's how some societies organize themselves. We call them markets, and we have various names for them, and we've invented money and distribution and other aspects, but basically, it's to serve the needs of others. And I'll give you a quote from one of our students. She said, after the program, our students always write a calling paper at the end, and she said, I have come to realize that an organized fashion of serving the genuine needs and wants of others is quite noble.
Well, that's a whole new concept for business.
It is, but basically, as a marketer, I'll tell you, that's what marketing is supposed to do. So we've distorted, to your point, Sydney, we've distorted various aspects, which are really almost like tactics, that predatory pricing, manipulative selling. I mean, there's a whole range of tactics that have been used that don't express the true essence of what the allocation of resources to serve the needs of others has really been intended to do.
Mm-hmm. It's a challenge out there, and unfortunately, and you know this as well as anybody, that when you get out into the business world, there are people who it's all about the bottom line, period.
That's right.
And I personally, if I was confronted, let's say I'm in a management role, and I'm confronted with that type of decision that I have to make, because a lot of these people are going to go into mainstream businesses to try to, you know, what's the secret? How do we try to help make that change?
Well, the basic one, and good companies have always known this, is that you if you want to get the best people, and now best is now meaning people who have these ideals. Before, best meant, you know, the sharpest numbers crunchers, but they're realizing that creative talent, if it's about new ideas, you do want people who are creative. And one of the things we've found with sustainability, and I'll give you, this will not be a technical term to your listeners, but it's an important, we use it technically in our curriculum, is systems thinking. Well, if you get people, and if you define creativity even loosely as the ability to make connections between two fairly disparate ideas, systems thinking is of enormous advantage if people are trained to think that way, to see connections, to then better serve the market. And what you go through always is that there are those people who will attempt to manipulate the numbers, and we certainly, I will tell you that it was a grand moment for many of us who are concerned about this area, when the guilty verdict came down on Enron, to really talk about what are we doing and what is a different way to model the business. And so what we're finding is that people are more receptive, not only just with this idea, as Bobby Kennedy said, he said, we're not doing this to save the spotted owls, we're doing this to preserve a way of life. And then the spotted owls and everything else form a piece of that. But the power of what he's been able to do, and what you're attempting to do, Sydney, and a number of others are, is to make that bridge between concern for the environment and how we go about organizing our society to serve the genuine needs of others.
That is what we need to do, and we're working at that. It's very interesting to start setting up these systems. That's what we're really working on. You have your system. I have mine. I'm very much concerned about public information.
That's right.
Education, marketing, you know. And we have to literally market these strategies. I like the idea of adding the concept of nobility.
Yes.
And quite honestly, from a marketing perspective, I really believe this in my soul, which is what I bring to my business. And that is that I truly believe the public is beginning to long for that in their choices. I really think they're becoming conscious of that. And so that's what's interesting about that is that becomes, for us to enhance that emotional content,
right,
which is very powerful,
yes,
in choices,
yes.
It really creates great new opportunities.
Well, it does. The thing I wanted to mention before, too, Sydney, and you're absolutely right, but we tell students about this as a field, we say, businesses like two things. One is that they like monopolies if they can do it. So then, you know, you're the only car maker in town, so they have to buy from you. The other thing business people like is change. Because when there's change, there's the ability to be creative and be able to sell products. And if you ever wanted the change that we know that this world is facing, is the, you know, pick your area, global warming, water, food, then you can, we always bring back this issue that what also will come up in one way or another. We talk about the environment, and I know your listeners are very interested in that, but the other area we put equal emphasis on is social justice and the ability to pay workers properly, the ability to, what is the gap between the CEO and the factory worker. We're finding out that one of the key things to run your business properly, you need to run it equitably. And we will find that when all is said and done, what we really hope is that we are attracting the finest, smartest young people we can find, and young I use in terms of not demographic, but in terms of mind and energy, to be able to do the work that needs to be done to create a more just world.
Well, it's a fascinating success story so far, and I'm I'm knowing that you guys are going to grow, as businesses must, and you are a business.
We are indeed.
And you're also on a mission and have a great vision. Ron, if people want to, and as people want to know more about the Presidio School of Management, help them out.
Well, the easiest way is Presidio, P-R-E-S-I-D-I-O, PresidioMBA, like the degree, .org. In terms of the people looking at the website, even those of your listeners who aren't interested in an MBA, and those, we find about half of the people who apply for the program had not even thought about an MBA because of their view of business. I'd encourage all of your listeners, every one of them in one way or another is managing something. I don't care if it's a household, it's young kids, it's a nonprofit, it's a club, it's a business. We're all managing something. We're all managing the resources and the gifts that we've been given. So please look at what we have on our website. Look at other websites to really strengthen your knowledge of business. And for any of your listeners who look on business as the cause of the problem, business is it's how we use the tool. And I would really encourage all of us just to become better managers of all the work that we do. Our logo is the Golden Gate Bridge with a tree, and we use that as our symbol. We really want to be a bridge to this idealism that we have to the real workings of the world, and we have one of the most beautiful human-designed structures in the world, the Golden Gate Bridge, next to God's nature.
Well, that is a wonderful bridge to a better future, which is what you guys are all about at the Presidio School of Management. Ron Naser, I want to thank you again for joining us on the Wild Side News here and adding your voice.
Thank you very much, Sydney.
Coming up, a dedicated alliance of private pilots are helping to identify and clarify some truly horrific disasters happening in people's backyards that are done out of sight, out of mind. Southwinds, next. Stay tuned.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.